The Drives podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security, disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group at 865-566-0800 or visit dag-us.com.
You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
We're working like heck.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive right here on Fox Sports Knoxville's Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock, 3 o'clock on your Monday afternoon. Trey Wallace has the day off. Bear is here. He will greet you as you call in on the Nextdoor Home Group Hotline at 865-546-8200. Jake Lester in studio with us as well. We got a lot to get to here this afternoon. It is Florida week. Brace yourselves and pace yourselves. That's all I can say. A lot of you have been asking on social media. Some of you have been suggesting. Some of you have been encouraging that we renew the annual Russell W. Smith Florida Week nature hike. And I don't know, man. I know it's not going to rain because apparently it doesn't rain in East Tennessee anymore. So, I mean, that is an option. Bear, what do you think? Should we reinstitute the nature walk?
I don't know, Russ. I mean, we seem to be in the middle of a drought right now.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that?
Yes.
When's the last time it rained?
It's been over 2 weeks.
I think it's been longer than that. Like, my entire front yard is brown.
Yeah, well, I've got young grass in the background, so, I mean, trust me.
I bet you're fretting and worrying over at your place. I know how you are about that little patch of grass you've been trying to grow.
I mean, it's growing, but I've been watering it every other day.
I mean, you're on a 2-acre lot, and you've got a 10-by-10-foot bare patch that you've planted grass seed on it, and you're acting like you're the head groundskeeper at Wimbledon in May.
Well, that is not really true. By not really, I mean completely. But is my thing on here? No. All right. Anyway, we got a lot to get to here this afternoon. Enough about my grass situations. Tennessee is on. It's a final now. We will not go winless. We will not go winless into that good night. We will not put up an 0-12. Ladies and gentlemen, Tennessee shuts out Chattanooga in thrilling fashion, 45-0 at Neyland Stadium on Saturday afternoon. And now we could turn our attention to the Gators. And I don't want to be too negative. I don't want to be too hypercritical on Overreaction Monday. But it really does kind of stick in my craw that I think Tennessee's coaches turned their attention to Florida a long time ago. I think that's the reason we're 1-2, and it sticks in my craw. I did not think this was a 10-win football team, but I thought this would be a 3-0 football team heading into Florida, and it should be a 3-0 football team heading into Florida, and that irks me. That irks me big time. That irks Russell, ladies and gentlemen. But it is what it is. And truth be told, I got a laundry list of things that bother me about the Chattanooga game. I'm not going to spend a ton of time delving into them. You won a game 45-0, and we should, at this point, just be happy to get a single notch in the W column.
I've got some positive stuff I want to talk about.
I mean, sure.
I've watched the game a couple of times now.
I found myself – I went back and watched the first half again. The second half is whatever. It's glorified scrimmage football. But you get a win, and, like, it makes it a lot easier. You're like, yeah, I want to go back and watch it again, right?
Yeah, I wanted to isolate on certain – I wanted to watch each level. I wanted to see what we really had. Because, I mean, it's hard, especially the offensive and the defensive line. It's just the way that they put it on, you know, produce it for television, you just kind of see the scrum, and you really got to slow it down and watch and make yourself watch the line to see who's any good and see who's not so good.
Well, it's strange. And this is the one prediction that dates back to preseason that actually has held true, but I feel a lot better about our offensive line than I do our defensive line. And that's not to say that I think our offensive line is like the 1980s Hogs from the Redskins or anything like that, but I think they're
– We seem to be a little bit more solidified, you think? Would you say that at offensive line?
I think there's just more potential for goodness this season. I think the defensive line is just – it's a bunch of guys who aren't very good. They're young and inexperienced, cutting their teeth, trying to find their way. I think they'll get better as the season goes along, and I have some hope that they'll be better, much improved next season, but I just don't think they're very good. So, anyway, we got a lot to get to here this afternoon. Some quick takeaways here. Let's start with the quarterback situation, as obviously that was the big topic of conversation last week, and everybody wanted to see Maurer and Shrout. Well, we got to see them, and I think it's kind of like we had suspected, and there, of course, there's no way to know until you actually get to see them, because nobody's seen them play football yet, except for a little burst in the spring game, and it's about what we expected, right? Those guys aren't as good as Garantano, and that's sobering to think that Jarrett Garantano is our best shot at having a competent quarterback play from that position, but that appears to be the case. With Maurer, I think that he's faster than Garantano. I think he struggles with his accuracy, his knowledge of the offense, stuff like that. He would be my choice if you were going to make a change. But they're not going to make a change, man. It's like we were talking about last week. It's not going to happen, so it's almost – maybe we can talk about it if you want, but Jarrett Garantano is going to be the guy, and we've got to have good play from him next week if we're going to have any chance, and I mean any chance, of beating Florida in the Swamp.
Yeah, I mean, I really feel like the backup quarterback brigade that calls and portion of our fan base, I mean, Garantano there, I mean, I know now why Garantano's a starter. It is what it is.
Yeah. And, look, man, Pruitt said it in his halftime interview. First ball should have been intercepted. He still struggles with his accuracy. I thought the touchdown to Tillman was a little bit late. I thought there were a couple of things that he could – but, I mean, look, he's our quarterback. You got to ride with it and just hope that we can get enough of a run game to where it doesn't go all on his shoulders Saturday or any other SEC game that we play this season, because – it's probably a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, and I mean, I finally came to the conclusion last night that, and this is in no way I'm not going all Vol for Life, you know, group on you, but I mean, knowing that, you know, obviously now I know why he's a starter. There's no point in bashing him. Let's just go. I'm going to support him. I would strongly urge everybody else to. I mean, I'll add, you know, offer constructive criticism, but I mean, the kid's never gotten in trouble. He's always represented us really, really well. I saw some ugly stuff on social media.
We talked about that.
And somehow me and you ended up tagged in it.
Yeah, we talked about that at the very end of the show Friday. And, look, there's nothing you can do about that. I mean, it sucks, man. I mean, like
– I mean, it's, what did he do to deserve that?
No, I mean, that's just the way the fans have – and it's not just Tennessee, but going back to Jonathan Crompton, man, something happened and – just the way we interact with college players in the past 20 years or so, where the gloves have been taken off, and it's not a good thing in my opinion, but it is what it is. Other big takeaway. All right, so that's the quarterback situation. The other big takeaway for me, two of them, Daniel Batuli, as we suspected, is going to make a huge impact on the defense. Hopefully his knee did not bother him after that game. I understand he had been having swelling issues as he tried to get back into practice last week. Hopefully he's going to be 100% or as close to it as possible for the Florida game, because a lot of the alignment issues that have plagued Tennessee for the first couple of games seemed to go away when he was in there, particularly with how we align our linebackers. And then even in the game, I think he played the first two or three series. He comes out Banks comes in for him, and it's no coincidence that that's when Chattanooga went right down the field and ended up fumbling inside the red zone, inside the five. Tennessee off the field, but Batuli is key defensively for us.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's seen the video now. I mean, and that will tell you how small of a change
that was
can make
actually
a huge difference.
That was actually Ignat whipping the dude on the
was
the
it Ignat?
Round. That was Ignat. But the point remains.
Yeah.
Batuli was he's the quarterback of the defense.
But just still, I mean, they seem to be lined up a lot. I don't know. They seem to be lined up better this week defensively. The big takeaway I had from it is Toe. We haven't had a linebacker like that probably since, what, Gerard? Eddie Moore?
Ooh, yeah. I mean, that might be a really good comparison, Gerard Mayo. He's got some Gerard Mayo to him, just as far as
– he's got some Gerard Mayo, but I've also seen a glimpse of that Moore mean streak.
Yeah, I mean, he's a fantastic player. So, like, obviously his shortcoming is experience, knowledge of the defense, but if you have Batuli next to him, helping him know where to go and what to do, that's only going to enhance his productivity this year.
Yeah, but I mean, regardless of what happens with this season, it's critical for his development that Batuli is out there playing next to him,
yeah,
teaching him.
So that was the two takeaways, quarterback Batuli. And then the last one, I'll say we end on a positive here. I mean, what could you say about Tennessee's kicking game? Like, I mean, that has been hit or miss for a long time, it seems. And, you know, you bust the return to begin with. This blew me away. I read this earlier today. Do you guys realize that we played three full games, right? And Tennessee, and we've kicked off and punted a lot. We have not had a single kick return against us yet. Not like a big kick return, like a return at all.
Yeah, first time that wasn't a touchback was when he kicked it out of bounds.
Yeah, every kickoff has gone into the end zone or out of bounds, and all the no punts have been returned yet. Now, actually, I read that this morning. Now, we did have, as I say that, I remember the one where Doyle got the hit out of bounds, but maybe the penalty negated that or something. But anyway, I'd read that earlier. Maybe it's just kickoffs. I don't know. But I read that we had not had a single punt or kickoff returned at all yet.
I've got a sneaking suspicion that stat's getting ready to change drastically.
Well, yeah. I mean, punts are going to get returned. But I've always been a fan of that. Like, you know, even now that it's at the kickoff, comes out to the 25 on a touchback, it's like, just put it through the end zone, man. Like, don't risk A, having it run back on you, or B, that's where a lot of the injuries occur. I know there are some coaches who like to tell their kicker, kick it right to the goal line, put it on the 1 yard line, get it up high, give us time to run down there, and let's pin them deep. And hey, Butch Jones teams were successful doing that a lot in those 5 year spans, but you also gave up the occasional long return, which is just a backbreaker to me. Put it on the 25 and go play defense. And yeah. I like that theory. And plus, that's like one less thing you have to spend a ton of time practicing on the practice field. If you know your kicker's going to boot that thing through the end zone every time, you don't have to spend half an hour each week on the practice field and longer in film study preparing your kick coverage units. So, pretty cool stuff. We got Raw tonight. Monday Night Raw. Jake Lester, you've got a trivia question for us, as we've got a stack of tickets here. If you want last-minute Raw tickets to go see Monday Night Raw tonight at Thompson Bowling, Assembly Center, and Arena, be the first to answer this wrestling trivia question at 865-546-8200. And we're going to get these tickets to you, and you can go see the wrestling tonight at the arena. Jake, what's our question?
For a chance to win tickets to go see Monday Night Raw tonight, all you have to do is call in and answer the question, who is the longest reigning WWE champion?
Who is the longest belt holder?
The longest reigning WWE champion.
Can I guess? Or no, that would
well, I mean,
defeat
if you guess
the,
right,
that would defeat
then
the
would,
purpose of
yeah.
the game, wouldn't it?
We'll reveal yeah, it later.
Just, what are you doing?
Like the longest, you're talking about like one title holder. Like longest
of the WWE championship, so not
like
total, heavyweight, not intercontinental, just like at one time.
Oh, any belt?
No, only the WWE title.
All right, I'm confused. Can you,
who is the longest reigning WWE champion? Not intercontinental.
Heavyweight champion.
Not heavyweight.
What are you?
The WWE champion.
What's the difference?
I've already got somebody on the phone that says he wants to get his tickets. He knows the answer.
Well, hold on. I don't even know the question. How can we have an answer?
I feel like you're just kind of out of the loop here, Russ. There's multiple belts.
Yeah.
So the WWE championship is one belt.
That's the big one, right? That's
yes.
the one that everybody
and then,
wants.
I don't think they do the heavyweight anymore, but that used to be the second biggest. So they were separate.
See, back when I was watching, it was just the champion and then the intercontinental champion and then, like, tag team champion, I guess.
Yeah. So who's the longest reigning WWE champion?
I'll just assume that you know what you're talking about and get out of the way and let you –
Is this some kind of trick question? Because
it's
was
not a trick question.
The WWF and then the World Wildlife Foundation. Great foundation. Everybody should support. They made him go to WWE. So it's through the history of the company.
Through the history of the company, WWF and WWE, who is the longest reigning WWE/F champion?
All right. Quick break. It is The Drive. It is Fan Run Radio. We're going to take a quick timeout right now. I'm aware of everybody telling me the issues with the stream. We have had a big web stream malfunction this past weekend. We apologize for that. We have a part ordered that is supposed to get here, I believe, on Wednesday.
Wednesday morning.
That will fix all our stream-related issues.
Stream will be strong.
In the meantime, I'm sorry. Just bear with us. We're doing the best we can. We'll be right back to get these tickets given away when we continue next year on The Drive.
Fan Run Radio, Knoxville's home for sports radio in the afternoon. This is The Drive.
All right, back here on The Drive, it's Fan Run Radio. Let's give these Raw tickets away real quick. What's the question again, Jake? Because I just don't understand.
The magic question to win your free tickets to Raw tonight. Who is the longest reigning WWE champion?
Eric, you're up first. You got an answer for us?
Yeah, Russ, what's up, man? Hey, is it Brock Lesnar?
Is it Brock Lesnar?
It is not Brock Lesnar. Good try, though.
Good try, Eric.
All right, thanks.
Donovan, do you have an answer for us?
Yeah, Bruno Sammartino.
Is it
Winner!
Bruno? Oh, Donovan just won 3 tickets to Raw. He's got 3 tickets to Paradise. R.I.P. Damn it, who's the
Eddie
guy?
Money.
Eddie Money.
We lost a giant.
Yeah.
Another giant over the
weekend.
Man.
Yeah,
really.
Eddie Money and Rick Ocasek, 2 giants of 80s rock and roll music. They say it happens in threes. Anyway, we're digressing. Donovan, you going to Raw tonight?
Sounds like it.
All right, hang right there. Bear's going to tell you the procedure for you to – we will get those prizes to you, as they say in the trade. Thanks, man. It's my dude, Donovan. Hung out with him at El Charro. Mexican restaurant last year once. He's a good guy.
Heard good things about that place.
Solid supporter of the brand. Yeah. So he wins those tickets. Bruno Sammartino, huh? He's like the 60s or 70s, right?
Yeah. He held the WWE title from May 17th, 1963 to January 18th, 1971. 2,803 days in a row.
Damn.
Seven years, eight months, and one day.
A Bama-esque run of championship domination, Bruno Sammartino, who passed away in 2018. Rest in peace. All right, so congratulations. We'll get those tickets to Donovan. All right, let's get back to you got to love wrestling. It's such the fantasy. It allows you the escape from reality. You know, in the world of wrestling, you can just walk up to somebody with a steel chair and club them over the head without – any repercussions at all? Like the police don't come and arrest you or anything?
No repercussions, only concussions.
That's true.
What's that?
No repercussions for the guy who does the bashing. Yeah, the poor schmuck who gets hit over the head. Yeah, he's going to have lifelong problems. But the fantasy aspect of professional wrestling, I think, has always been – that's always been the main draw. Unlike football, where that rug could be pulled out from under you for so – I mean, talking about my Titans and just – going in, I was so sure. Like, we finally turned the corner. We got our coach now, second year, and whatever's going to happen with Mariota is going to happen with Mariota. But, like, you know, we're headed in the right direction, obviously. Andrew Luck is gone. This domination that the Colts have exerted over us, ever since really the Peyton Manning days, it's finally over. And to watch your team go out there and just lay such an egg, just such a cold slap right in the face. It's like the fantasy just goes away. It's like the Tennessee football. And I'm watching that. I'm at a bachelor party weekend this past weekend, and we're all having a good time, getting a little loose, as Derek Dooley used to like to say.
What an idiot.
And watching Kentucky just absolutely choke against Florida, but watching Florida's roster just like get decimated right before our very eyes, and thinking, all right, well, Jonathan Zuniga's out. We've got a quarterback or a cornerback who got tossed out for targeting in the second half, so he's got to miss the first half of the game. And then they lose their quarterback. And I'm sitting there thinking, man, this is fantastic. We actually got a chance. We looked good earlier today. Now Florida's falling apart. The game kicks off at noon, so it's not going to be as rowdy as it usually is down there. Like, it's all falling into place. And then, like, the next day, I woke up yesterday, had to come home. The, shall we say, effects of the weekend began to wear off. And realities. And I'm like, Russell, you know better than this. How many times have you seen this movie before? How many times do you have to see a backup quarterback from Florida come in,
go Gator,
and completely dominate Tennessee before you realize it doesn't matter? And as a matter of fact, it probably helps Florida to go to Kyle Trask. And the fact that he hasn't started a game since middle school, I know. I've read all the stuff. I've seen it all. Doesn't matter. Like, it actually makes it more likely that Florida is going to find some way to break our hearts Saturday. Guys, Bear, Jake, do you have any confidence at all as we get set to head down to the Swamp on Saturday?
I'm confident that we're going to have a hell of a party at the tank when I collect my $100 off of Trey. No, we don't have any chance. Trask is better than Franks.
I totally agree with that.
Trask would have been the starter last year had he not gotten hurt the week before the first game. You remember that?
No, not really.
6'5", what about 235?
Can he run
from
at all?
Texas. I mean, yeah, he can run enough.
He ran that really dangerous option that scored them a touchdown.
Yeah.
Where he pitched it while he's falling to the ground.
Man, what a call.
Gutsy.
Oh, man. I just try not to get my hopes up. Like, it's the Florida week is the ultimate hope for the best, but prepare for the worst mentality.
Sure. Like, been doing it all my life, man.
If you set your expectations as low as possible, it's like, well, if everything goes right, we might only lose by 30. Like, if that's your expectation coming in, then the pain that you're going to feel Sunday shouldn't be anything to write home about, right?
No. I mean,
is that too negative?
No, I mean, it's a lifetime of conditioning. I mean, the freaky stuff that happens in that stadium to us. I mean, Joey Kent almost bit his tongue off because he forgot to put his mouthpiece in. He got rocked. You know, Tony Robinson slipping on the towel back in 85.
Tony Robinson slipped on a towel?
There was a towel.
What?
Yeah.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I mean, it was
you're
before
too,
my
yeah,
time.
Yeah, it was before your time.
He blew out a knee, though, right? Against
yeah,
Alabama.
Later on, but no, that screwed the play, and I think he had McGee wide open, it would have been a touchdown. In a game, you know, that was a Tennessee-Florida game where, you know, the next touchdown was going to win it.
Well,
just wacky stuff has happened down there.
I'm trying to keep my expectations and my hopes low for the game this weekend. Do I think we can give them problems? Yes. Do I think Florida is a world beater? No. Do I think there are a lot of things that kind of set up for us in this particular game? Yes, I do. But I'm not going to allow myself as a fan to be sucked into the we're going to win. We're going to get this thing done. Now, I hope the players and coaches get sucked into that. And I know they will. I mean, nobody ever, like even the worst Derek Dooley, Butch Jones staffs went into Florida expecting to win with a week of a good game plan and a week of hard practice under their belt expecting to win. And I know this team will be no different, but as a fan, if you're all in thinking we're going to win, God bless you. And as a matter of fact, I'd like to hear from you this afternoon at 865-546-8200 on your Nextdoor Home Group hotline, because I would like to know particularly for those of you who have been watching this rivalry for a long time now, I would like to hear from you and get inside your mind and know why you have a sense of optimism heading into this game. Now, congratulations to Donovan winning those Raw tickets. Coming up in your 5 o'clock hour, we're going to have Gator Hater Week trivia sponsored by our friends at Citizens National Bank, the official bank of the drive. They've got a big Gator Hater luncheon on Thursday up in Sevierville that I'm going to be going to. And if you want to come with me, be sure to call in at 5 for our Gator Hater trivia presented by Citizens National Bank. And somebody's going to win a trip with the drive up to Citizens National Bank World Headquarters in Sevierville for a delicious luncheon. But Barry, you've been to some of these CNB parties with me. You know how they get down up there.
They like to get down and they like to get funky.
They throw down. Now, this will be a...
Are we taking the youngin' to the Halloween party this year?
I mean, you guys are all invited. I'm going Thursday, and yeah, we'll have one next month as well. But if you want to go to this one, stay tuned for your chance. More trivia coming up in our 5 o'clock hour. We're going to take a quick timeout. We'll come back with phone calls. We'll get your Rocky Top Report presented by the Craigner Group. We'll get things rolling here on the drive. It's a beautiful Monday. Let's do this. Fox Sports Knoxville, more fan-run radio on the way.
This is The Drive.
All right, time for the Rocky Top Report, brought to you by the Craigner Group, doing real estate the right way. Tennessee coming off its 45-0 shutout of Chattanooga, switching up the practice routine a little bit this week. Tennessee actually practiced last night and will be off today. Some schools do it this way. They practice on Sunday and take the day off Monday. Tennessee will be doing that. And I'm not sure, you know, Jeremy Pruitt will never tell you exactly why he's doing something.
That was what I was getting ready to ask you. What's the thought process
there? I wonder if it has something to do with Trey Smith. Because, you know, they said that they've already changed up to where they're going a little bit harder on Thursday than they used to, so that he can practice more. Then I don't know. I'm gonna have to go. He talked about it at his press conference today, but I was doing something and was kind of half-heartedly listening. But because of Trey Smith and the way he's managing his medications for the blood clots and everything, he can't practice much during the week. So I wonder if it's like one of those things where they get him. You know, obviously he plays on Saturday. I wonder if they go ahead and get him the practice on Saturday.
That would make
sense.
Knowing
that he's going to sit out some during the week.
That's what the only thing similar I've ever heard to that is like in NASCAR and some of the top racing. Like, they have very strict rules about pain medication. And you have, say, the race is on Sunday. Your last dose of pain medication has to be no later than Wednesday. And then you've got to be clean Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Makes sense.
To make sure it's completely out of your system before they put you behind the wheel. But that would make sense to me.
Pruitt today said he hasn't decided if Bryce Thompson will travel to Gainesville yet.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay, Jeremy.
You think he's going to be there?
Hell yes. And if he doesn't, I will have, I'll have very serious concerns, honest to God, for the first time, if Thompson's not in the starting lineup.
Well, I've seen concerns about what?
Whether or not he's going to last long term here.
Who, Pruitt?
Yeah. You start him.
Wait, you're basing your long term.
You're damn right I am.
On whether or not he plays Thompson. I've seen a lot of people, media folks, speculating on social media today that he won't play because his court date is like.
The Drives podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group today at 865-566-0800. Applying for disability can be very tedious. Having an experienced attorney on your side makes it easy. Call Disability Advantage Group, 865-566-0800, or visit online at dag-us.com.
Next week or something, and that he would have to have.
Is it on Saturday? No? Then play him.
Well, okay. There's Bears analysis of the situation. I mean, obviously, we stand a much better chance, and the two-deep thing that they released to the media today has Kenneth George listed as the starter next to Burrell at corner. It's got to be Taylor and Thompson, right? I mean, if
you want to have any chance,
those are our most
infinitesimal it is to win that game.
I know Taylor has looked really bad at times, most notably the end of the BYU game. But he's our most talented guy. Like, no offense to Kenneth George, but Alante Taylor's a more talented football player.
Trask will be the best quarterback we face this year.
So. The offensive line starters look the same as they did. Morris at left tackle, Trey Smith at left guard, Kennedy at center, Darnell Wright at right guard, and then Kayron Calvert at right tackle. Now, this is one of those things. Yeah, we've all seen the cut-ups of Kayron Calvert mashing dudes. We're playing Chattanooga. That's the first time we've seen that guy play. Now,
yeah.
The right side of that line looks better. It looks better with Darnell Wright and Kayron Calvert, 2'5", 330-pounders standing right next to each other. I mean, we look bigger, but
I think it's better to have Darnell at right guard as a freshman. I think we're probably trying to ask a little too much out of our freshman.
Yeah. I mean, it looked good the other day, but there's a big difference between playing in your home stadium against Chattanooga at noon and playing in the swamp against Florida at noon.
Well, I think it'll be interesting to see how our defense kind of – they were a little out of alignment without Batuli.
Mm-hmm.
If Zuniga is out for the Florida game this Saturday, it's interesting to see how the defensive line for Florida responds. You know, we know that they're really good, but Zuniga is definitely the spearhead of that whole D-line. So without him, it'll be interesting to see how they respond.
What's his injury? I know he had his ankle all iced up.
I'm not certain.
I mean, if that's a high ankle sprain, that's you got to think his
who else out from Florida for targeting? Do they just have one and Kentucky had two?
It was the second. They had a guy thrown out in the second half, a secondary. I didn't see
best
who it was.
Who was it? I sat and watched the game. The Kentucky guy that everybody's claiming was just a horrible call was textbook targeting. I mean, textbook.
Was that the defensive lineman where he went into the
quarterback? Yeah. He tucked his chin and then he launched himself into the guy's face.
Yeah, I didn't have a problem with that. All right, that is the Rocky Top Report. One more item for you. Florida, according to the good folks over at MyBookie, a 14-point favorite at home against the Vols to open the week. Rocky Top Report brought to you by Bo Kregner at the Kregner Group. Bo knows houses. Bo knows that selling your house can be a stressful time in your life. Lucky for you, Bo knows how to design a marketing plan that takes the pressure off your shoulders so that you can get on with moving into your next home. Visit BoKnowsHouses.com to find out more. That's BoKnowsHouses.com, or you can call Bo direct at 865-742-1035. That's 742-1035 to set up your free consultation. Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group, Real Estate the Right Way. Let's go back to these phones for really the first time after our WWE Monday Night Raw trivia contest. Bear, who's up first today?
We have the mayor of Sono, Phil.
Philly!
What are you saying, W?
It's Florida week, Phil.
Go Gator. Yeah.
You ready?
How are you, Bear and Jake doing?
We're doing all right, man. It's early. We're trying to pace ourselves, not get too worked up about things.
Where's War Eagle at today?
He is taking the day off. Should be back tomorrow, I believe.
Must be nice. Guys, Florida is an average football team, but we have no chance of winning.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, I agree with that.
What is it,
basically, Florida football is right now is very similar to Tennessee football after we won a national championship.
What is it, Bear, that we've won like four times in the swamp since 1971?
Won twice with the greatest road quarterback Tennessee's really, ever had, Casey Clawson. He did better on the road than he did at home. We had one of the fiercest defenses we've ever taken down there.
So not terribly encouraging.
No. And we had what, Phil, some of our best running backs that have ever played here. 2001, it was what, the Travis Stevens show. 2003, we had the Banks miracle catch in the end zone. And then you had a freight train running back in Jabari Davis. And, not to rain on everybody's parade here on Monday, but we don't resemble remotely that team.
Florida doesn't resemble those teams either. So
no, they're closer to it than we are.
They're second tier to Georgia now.
There is a reason this game is being played at noon on the SEC Network. It ain't your daddy's Florida-Tennessee game. Is it SEC Network or ESPN?
I believe it's ESPN.
ESPN, but it's a 12 o'clock ESPN.
Yeah,
what does it matter? Yeah.
This is 3:30 CBS. This is 8 o'clock prime time. That's what this series is. So there's a reason, and it's not just all Tennessee sucks. Florida, they ain't much to write home about either, even though they are in the top 10. That's not a top 10 football team. I'm sorry.
I bet you they'll win 9 or 10 games now with Trask.
I looked at their schedule. They'll probably go 8-4 or 9-3.
Win a bowl game, be 10-3. That's just what they do down there. I mean, hell, even when Alabama's downturn, they won the SEC. Nobody has a downturn like we do. We'll just shut it down for 20 years.
Well, we know how to do it, don't we?
Yeah, unfortunately.
It's the worst drought in history. There's no doubt about it. But until we get a quarterback on campus that can play, then it's all academic.
Hey, guys, the Knoxville News Sentinel, Govall's Extra, is reporting, and it's just dropped about 10 minutes ago, that Jeremy Banks was arrested on Saturday night after the game. And it's a situation where he got ticketed for driving without a license a couple of months ago, which was a dumb thing to do, but whatever. Now, the dumber thing to do was he did not show up for his court date. So there was a warrant out for his arrest. So anyway, Saturday night, he's out late. He makes an illegal U-turn, and a cop sees him, pulls him over, find out that he's got this warrant, so they arrest him, right? Not a big deal, okay? It's a dumb thing to do, but it's one of those things where, you run him till he pukes every day for 2 weeks, and you move on. You handle it internally or whatever. Now, Barry, you and I talked about this yesterday. We were alerted to this here at Fan Run Radio early yesterday morning. And somebody told me about it from the police department. And I told a couple of other folks here at the station, said, what do you guys think? Is this something we should report on? We decided no, just because it's not that big. Why is the News Sentinel reporting on that?
It's really not news other than the fact he's a UT football player. I'll go ahead and put it out here on Front Street. There was a time a young bear in his early 20s did the exact same thing.
You missed a court date?
Missed a court date, and I was driving. I didn't realize that my driver's license was suspended and got stopped.
Is that something that – I know this is the paper of record in the town, the only newspaper in town, basically, the Knoxville News Sentinel. I know he got arrested, so he was taken to jail. They wrote him up, whatever. He was quickly released. Is this something
Did they even
that,
take him to jail, or did they give him a summons?
They took him to jail.
They did?
Yeah. I mean, is this something that
– I mean, I don't know. He didn't show up on the 24-hour. I mean, he didn't get – you know, I don't know what the deal was Saturday night, but no. I mean, and you put it out on Twitter earlier, and I know you know, you were doing it kind of facetiously, but there was a kernel of truth in there that the Sentinel's taking a heel turn over the summer towards the program. I mean, it just feels like it's always something negative.
Yeah, what was that just a few weeks ago they were going after?
I think they published a story that said Georgia State was the better team headed into the opener. Now we see how that went.
Kind of right on that one. But
The Bryce Thompson stuff, they were digging up dirt over in South Carolina the year before, right?
Listen, man, I'm not a reporter. You know, I'm not like a Big J journalist or whatever. So I don't know what the right answer to this question is. Like, is that something that – I don't know. I don't know what the – maybe in their thing, we cover UT football, a player got arrested, we're not passing judgment, we're just reporting that it happened, if it's that kind of thing. But I don't know, man. Like, where do you draw the line? Like, if a guy misses a couple of classes and fails, are we going to report on that too? You know, like the guy got – he was driving without a license. Maybe he left it at home one day. He missed his court date. He's a bonehead college kid. He got taken to jail. They let him out. Like, is this really newsworthy? I don't know.
He was released Sunday morning.
I'll say this. If that was a lady ball basketball player, there would mean nothing in the paper.
Interesting.
You can look at it any way you want to.
Yeah, at this on the heels of today, earlier, so I was looking at the News Sentinel website before I came in here, and this isn't their fault because it's run by, you know, some out-of-state company and it's just a weird thing that happened. But when I went to the News Sentinel website today at about 2:00, the first thing that pulls up is one of those pull down ads. You know, you go to a website and like all of a sudden a big ad just like pops up in front of your face, and it's an Amway story from Amway Coaches Poll. Do you know what it takes to successfully prepare a team? Take this quiz to find out, it says. And whose smiling picture is there on the front page of KnoxNews.com? I'm not making this up.
Yeah, I would hope it's
Fulmer? Dan Mullen. They've got an ad with Dan Mullen on the front page of our local paper's website on Florida Week. You can't make this up, Phil.
Well, there's a reason to call him Meatloaf. He's kind of like Phil Fulmer after he won a national championship. See,
I mean, is this real life? We got an ad featuring the Florida coach the week of the game. That can't be a good omen. Stay with us. The Drive continues. Back with more after this.
The Drive. Center. The unexplainable. The unimaginable. The Drive.
I mean, I don't like the omens that are coming out. I don't like the omens, Bear.
The omens. You know I'm a superstitious person. Black cat crossed my path last night.
It's funny you were telling me on the show like a week or two ago how you're not superstitious. You don't believe in any of that stuff.
When did I say that?
Like just a couple, I asked you, like, do you believe in the superstition stuff? And you're like, no.
No.
You said so matter of fact. I was like, no, nah, I don't believe in any of that stuff. I can't remember the exact.
That's probably being sarcastic. Yeah, I'm one of the most superstitious people you'll ever meet.
So, you got this Trask guy comes off the bench. I mean, that's not a good sign, right?
No. On what planet would that be a good sign as a Tennessee fan?
And as if that weren't bad omen enough, yesterday, Jacoby freaking Brissett couldn't play dead in a Western. Comes into Nissan Stadium and looks like sober Johnny Manziel out there. I mean, looks like a great NFL quarterback. We can't stop him. He runs when he wants. He's dropping dimes for touchdowns. Jacoby freaking Brissett, who could have beat out Jeff Driskel there.
Oh, that reminds me. I've got a message for you.
And then, did you see? And I think the Broncos kind of got hosed last night because I don't think that timeout should have counted for the Bears with 1 second left. But who comes out for the Bears? They finally got a kicker. Freaking Pinheiro.
The Florida guy.
Like all these Gators having success all of a sudden. It's just, I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like the storylines headed into this one. Seems bad. Seems really bad.
You want to hear your message?
From who?
The Duke of Granger. It's pretty short.
What does that moron have to say?
Suck it, Russ.
Yeah. Yeah.
He said he owns you.
Yeah. No, no, no. He doesn't own anything.
Duke of Granger? I think he does, Russ.
The coach might own the Titans. His team might own my team. But that's no reflection on him or me as a person.
Oh, he owns space in your head right now.
Brandon Orrick. I hope he got sunburned sitting out there watching that crap.
You know he did. He's fair skinned.
Stay with us. Hour number two coming up. We'll get Jake in here with the top four at four. Some big NFL news with a couple of iconic quarterbacks suffering long-term injuries over the weekend. He'll get us clued in there. A couple of other things to hit on. We've got Christopher Smith from MyBookie to preview the Monday night game tonight between the Browns and the Jets. Someone's going to win. A couple of 0-1 teams going at it. Stay tuned. More of your phone calls on the way as well. It is The Drive right here on Fox Sports Knoxville Fan Run Radio.